Time is now 5 o'clock. Warwick City Council Finance Committee comes to order. We have two members. One member will be joining us at 7. One is currently stuck in traffic. So we have a stand-in of the council president and pro tem. We will get right into it. First up, we have acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on October 21st, 2024.
I move favorable action.
Second.
Moved, seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Sorry, let me just get organized here. All right, moving into the consent calendar. We have acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on October 21st, 2024.
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. PCR 10324, our bids. First up is 2025-266, purchase 2 2023 auto car side loading refuse vehicles. Evening, Christy.
Good evening. Christy Moretti, Public Works. Public Works is requesting to purchase two 2023 auto car side loading refuse vehicles from Sanitary Equipment in the amount of $760,000. The reason we are making this request is that there are two vehicles that were ordered by a municipality that they reversed course on their decision to buy them, so they were offered to us. So we can purchase these two vehicles at 2021 pricing. They are brand new. They've never had trash in them. And right now they're located in Alabama. So by the time they get to us, assuming we get approved, we will have, they'll have close to 2,000 miles on them. And with that as well, right after this request, there is one we had requested previously to purchase a 2025 Kenworth side loading vehicle. We will, if this gets approved, we will rescind that request. And that the monies from that request will go towards the purchase of these two vehicles.
Understood. Any questions from members of the committee?
Yes.
Good evening, Christy.
Good evening.
So yes, you did mention that we're looking at the 2021 pricing for this. So the difference there, $380,000 compared to the 2025 pricing is $416,000 and change?
Correct.
Okay. And who drives it up from Alabama?
They'll transport it to us.
Okay.
So it's
so we're not sending somebody to go pick
it up.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Councilman Latta.
Thank you. Hi, Christy.
Good evening.
So the council president just asked part of my question. First, I want to ask you if anyone either through video or through photographs, have you seen pictures documenting the condition of this vehicle, both inside and out, as well as the odometer?
The automotive chief has had primary contact with the vendor that we're requesting to purchase from. So he had all the information. He's the one that brought the pricing to us for these vehicles. So he has that. I don't have it personally, and we also have a longstanding history with this vendor. We've purchased probably 10 vehicles through them over the years. So I'm fully confident in making the requests recommended by the automotive chief.
All right. So your answer is that you do have documentation of the condition of these vehicles in and out, as well as mileage?
I'm not 100% sure.
Not you personally, but
the auto, I believe the automotive chief had the information and he just sent us the money side of it. So,
yeah. Well, I would certainly hope that in purchasing $760,000 worth of vehicles that someone has documented all of these things and the condition of these vehicles. To follow up on the council president's question regarding who's driving the vehicles. So the sanitary equipment folks, are they going to be the ones driving the vehicles down to us?
Or they'll hire somebody
or they're designated.
From the, yes, but yes, they will, the price for these vehicles includes transport to our, to us. So they'll actually go to Connecticut first for like a PDI, a pre-delivery inspection. And then once that's completed, then they'll be delivered to us.
And that means that sanitary equipment is going to be responsible for the insurance on those vehicles, the coverage and the
yes, cost. I don't notify finance to add them to the insurance until they are on our property.
And at that time is when we'll take responsibility for the vehicles when they're literally delivered to our property.
Correct.
Okay. And this kind of goes over to, well, never mind. I'll just ask it when we get to the next item. That is all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council have questions on this item? Thank you, Christy.
Thank you.
Sorry, any members of the public? Thank you. All right. Okay. All right. Number two, 2025-172, purchase 2025 Kenworth L770 side loading sanitation vehicle. Christy.
This request is from Public Works to rescind the award that we had made to sanitary equipment to purchase a 2025 Kenworth side loader in the amount of $416,953.
Okay, excellent. Any members of the committee have questions? Councilman?
Thank you. Christy, do you have, or does the city have a written agreement or something in writing from sanitary equipment agreeing to rescind this?
Yes, I notified the salesman that if we were allowed to purchase the other two vehicles that we were canceling the order, and he did acknowledge back to me that they understood that.
And do they understand that without any imposed penalties for canceling it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Any other members of the council? Christy, just a quick question on this one. So we are able to get the two units that we just discussed, and we're going to cancel the purchase order for this single 2025 purchase. Does the addition of the second unit on the with the 2023 pricing do anything else to our purchasing plans for the year around sanitation vehicles, or is this just one more than we thought we would get?
This is kind of one of those. It was too good to pass up for us to get a brand new truck for a pricing that at, you know, we're almost at 4 years old. So no, it doesn't. We had a vehicle in capital for fiscal year 26, I believe. We may end up foregoing that vehicle because we purchased this, but that internal discussion would obviously be more at budget time than the decision being made right now.
Okay. And are you aware in terms of the budgeted, capital expenses related to ARPA funds, so that obviously we'll spend a little bit more here to get a lot more, but are we pulling funds that we had anticipated using later, or
We had to be a little bit creative with the, not creative, that's probably a poor word, but we went through what we had left in ARPA funds, what we had obligated, what we still had to, you know, encumber by the end of this calendar year. And we were able to come up with the funds in ARPA to purchase these vehicles. So, and we don't have any issue with our ARPA funding.
Okay. Thank you, Christy. Any members of the public have any questions? Okay. You want to take over? Sure. Okay. Next up, item number three, 2023-220, body-worn cameras, software, and associated equipment. Major?
Good evening, Major Randy Sullivan for the Police Department. The Police Department is requesting a 612 alteration of contract to increase the spending authority of bid 2023-220 with Axon Enterprises in the amount of $570,000. Last year, the Warwick Police Department applied for the fiscal year 24 U.S. Department of Justice COPS Technology and Equipment Grant through Senator Jack Reed's office. We were recently informed that we had been awarded the $570,000 grant. The grant funding will be used to purchase 30 additional body-worn cameras, additional docking stations for the cameras, and 5 complete virtual reality training sets. The grant will also cover 5 varieties of related software expenses. With this spending authority increase, the new total spending authority will be $1,480,000. The contract award date will remain the same, and this will be derived from budget code 363-0457. And finally, on behalf of the Warwick Police Department, we'd like to publicly thank Senator Jack Reed's office for this exceptional opportunity.
Thank you, Major. Yes, certainly a huge help by Senator Reed in supporting the department and the city in this. Is this just supplementing our existing portfolio of body-worn cameras, or is this in addition? Or
Both. So we have approximately 110 cameras right now.
Okay.
So we're adding 30 more for better personnel coverage as needed. And then the virtual reality software is very innovative and a new concept. It's just wearing the virtual reality goggles with simulated accessories, that being taser and firearm, and it can put officers through a vast various scenarios for training purposes, and in the confines of we just do it anywhere, basically. Could do it in a small room in the station. Doesn't need to be a fancy, elaborate setup. It also pay for extensive amount of software. As we know, these contracts, a lot of the software is as expensive as the hardware. So it's going to be paying for that. And there's also another component, Axon Investigate, that we pay for separately, is approximately $3,000 a year. And that's going to be bundled into this 612. So that'll come out, this $3,000 at least annually for the life of this remaining contract, and that lasts till 2028, that we won't be paying out of the regular budget.
Thank you, Major. Any questions or comments from members of the committee? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Councilman. Major, so just to reiterate, this is a fully funded grant. This program, this initiative, this safety initiative that protects our officers, as well as helps the officers with the training and development of great careers of our officers in the community?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. And 100% federal grant?
100% funded congressionally directed spending through the COPS grant. And another footnote is this cannot be used for capital purchases such as cruisers, building infrastructure, firearms. So there's a lot of caveats. So this is where we
specifically
got to this.
Specifically, yes. For the cameras.
Yes, that was a qualifying investment.
Great. Well, thank you to you and the department for getting this grant that comes in so vital and so important. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from the committee? From the council? Councilman Lattiser?
Thank you. Good evening, Major.
Good evening.
So I just want to review something I think kind of already touched on. The purchase that you're looking to make for this additional hardware and software, that is what that amount is of $568,442, right?
I'm sorry, can you say that again? So it's what?
It's $568,442.
That's correct. The grant total that it was approved was $570,000.
Right.
Being that it was just a smidgen more, we wanted to request the spending authority and for any, if we could squeeze, you know, one more.
Sure. No, I get that. I understand that. But the question I'm asking is that $568,442 is going to be spent only on additional hardware and software?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Members of the public? Hearing none, we will move on. Next up is item number 4, 2025-265, purchase 1 Freightliner Van Con truck. It's on page 21.
Christy Moretti, Public Works. We are requesting to purchase it's actually a Vac Con truck. There was just a little typo there. For the Highway Division, this is a vehicle that will... we can use with our drainage infrastructure for cleaning and jetting and things like that. We do have one right now. Well, it's a 1997. It was reappropriated from the sewer department. It's no longer at all useful in any capacity. This vehicle would come from sanitary equipment again, in the amount of $564,725. And if we get it approved, they can get us a January 2025 build slot for this vehicle. And then according to the information I was given, it would be delivered early February. And we also included a quote from another vendor for a similar vehicle that was more expensive. So we are requesting to purchase the lesser price vehicle.
Thank you, Chris. Christy, what is this another one where we were approached by the vendor, or was this on our list of items to go?
This was part of our spending plan. We had originally estimated $420,000. So we already had that allocated. Again, it is more than that. But that was part of the exercise that we went through with the other two vehicles as far as where we would get the monies from. So this is also part of that. So it's been earmarked and doesn't really change our spending plan.
Got it. And when I'm recalling us purchasing a similar vehicle like in the last 18 months, is that?
No. No, we have a couple of years ago, we purchased a clamshell truck, which is different. It's kind of like a dump truck that has an arm on it with a
spring
clamshell that goes in and pulls the stuff out. But this is a different truck. You fill it with water. It has basically a heavy duty jet on it, so we can try to clear lines and, you know, if there's blockage or things like that.
And Christy, how are in the absence or with the piece of equipment you currently have, how are we cleaning catch basins and dry wells and whatnot?
So we send the clamshell truck out right now. As far as anything else, usually it only happens if we have a problem that we need to investigate. Sewer does have one of these trucks. However, they need to use it for their own purposes. So 9 times out of 10, when we ask them, you know, if we can, they can help us out. It's already being used or it's scheduled for whatever their purposes are. So it ends up, you know, we have to wait till it's available. This would make it more, if we had our own truck, we have a driver that would be assigned to it. We can send them out when we need to. They can also do maintenance of sorts for the drainage, which is also part of our DEM consent agreement.
Dad's here.
For scaring me.
Thank you. Sorry. Eric Earls, Public Works. Like Christy was saying, Sewer Authority has a piece of equipment that we can occasionally use, but it's always on their schedule. And because it's not readily available to us, we only use that when we need to put out fires, right? So by the time we're asking the Sewer Authority to use this truck, typically the line that we want to clean has been completely clogged. If Public Works were to have their own piece of equipment like we historically have, this is not a new piece of equipment. This is just one that we historically have and we currently don't. We can perform regular maintenance, right? We can be out there. And when we clean with the clamshell, right, the clamshell goes down and pulls out all the big stuff. And then we go back with this piece of equipment. We use a pressure washer to really clean inside. And then we use a pressure hose to go in the drainage line and clean out the drainage line and flush that as well. Right now with the clamshell, all we're doing is pulling stuff out. We can't get into any of the lines, right? So by the time we're seeing problems, you know, it's a storm and the road is flooded and that's how we find out, right? And you guys all know that because we always get calls from you because you've heard from your constituents. This piece of equipment will allow us to have a better preventive maintenance program and adjust those things before they get to that elevated level.
Got it. And so with this piece of equipment, you would assign a driver to that piece of equipment and that we would be operating that. Would there be a schedule for preventative maintenance?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, on a road like, Sandy Lane, for example, rather than going out there and cleaning the structure that we get calls on, we would just have a regular program to go down the street and clean them all, which is obviously more efficient than jumping all over the city to just try and put out fires. But yes, we would have a program okay. like that.
And do you currently have the manpower to staff this truck if you had it?
Yeah. As Christy indicated, we do currently have one. And so that operator has primarily been used in the clamshell. Typically, we have two people trained on those apparatus. Right now, we only have one because we only have the one piece of equipment. But it's not an issue. There is a backup operator for that piece of equipment, and this would be kind of the two of them would cooperate this equipment.
Got it. Okay, thank you. Any other questions from members of the committee? Councilman Howe.
More of a comment, and I appreciate you saying Sandy Lane, because I also know that off the Strawberry Field, Burbank, and Evergreen and all those, there is a lot of vegetation on the side of the road that we have to, and I give you quite a few calls, as you said. We're calling and we're trying to find out when. So I appreciate this purchase. I appreciate the department advocating for this purchase, because that is definitely one of the things as we're trying to do that fine balance of deal with the storms, but also keep our vegetation, obviously, for the environment. So this will assist. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Travis.
Yes. Hi, Director. The truck that you got now, how old is that one?
97.
1997.
97. So it's running all right?
No, it's not. It doesn't function in any capacity. The pressure washer doesn't work at all. And the hose that would suck material out is probably at 50% capacity, if that. So it doesn't make sense to go out there without the pressure washing capacity, because, you know, the mechanism that sucks stuff up is functioning like the clamshell, essentially.
So you're talking about two people that are be able to use the other one then?
Yeah, we would be able to mobilize.
So we won't have two vehicles up there. Why just have two people that know how to run that?
Well, no, we would be able to mobilize two pieces of equipment with two operators at the same time.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
How many vehicles have we gotten so far in the Public Works with the opera money? Do you know?
I don't have that off the top of my head, but it's been substantial between sanitation vehicles and pickup trucks for the foreman.
That's great.
And, you know, the water division has gotten a handful of trucks. It's really improved our fleet considerably.
Good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Lattiser.
Hi, Director. Eric, I'm curious, how many drains do we have in the city?
We have about 8,000 drainage structures. So that includes manholes that are typically in the middle of the road with junctions of catch basins. I think the number is about 5,000.
I think this vehicle that you described is outstanding, actually. I'm going to be really happy to support it. I know that I've reached out to you and the chief of staff recently on various amounts of drains that are clogged for whatever reason. So this certainly is going to be, I think, a great benefit for you to keep up with. With that piece of equipment, particularly with the things that it can do, in addition to just scooping stuff out, I think that power washing thing, I'll refer to it as power washing, is just an amazing, amazing piece of work. How many drains would you think on a daily basis, you know, a couple of crews can deal with?
You know, if they didn't run into any issues, they could, with that one piece of equipment, they could probably get to 20 or 30, depending on, like I said, if there aren't any issues.
Sure.
With the clamshell, on a good day, we can get to 15 or so. But with this piece of equipment, things would go a lot faster.
Well, in addition to that, too, once you get your program implemented, where you have, you know, ongoing program of keeping up with these things, essentially maybe on a daily basis, that'll all end up going a lot faster too, because you're
absolutely
not gonna have those issues.
Absolutely.
So in here it reflects on the city has to comply with the Rhode Island DEM consent agreement, and I'm sure you will remember the extensive discussions we had about that when this came before us, and what my concerns were with the staffing and the equipment that you had, not necessarily the intent of DPW, but the capability of being able to stay with that, what I consider at the time a very aggressive plan from DEM. How are you making out with that?
We are doing enough to
stay out of trouble.
Yes, I guess that's fair. You know, DEM has been working with us. They acknowledge that there's a financial burden. We submit our annual reports regularly that indicate what we've done, and you know, ideally they would have us doing more, but you know, we've been doing enough to kind of move the program forward. But as you indicated, if we're out there, if we can clean catch basins, you know, once a year or twice a year, I'm sorry, every other year, once a year, every other year, every third year, what we can do is see how the frequency that we need. If we go out there and clean it this year and then go back next year and see that there's nothing in it, well, now we know we can set that schedule to do it less frequently. And DEM acknowledges that when we submit our report. So now instead of having to get 5,000 every year, maybe we have to do 2,500, which is a more reasonable number. But yeah, we work with them and there's an open line of communication.
So you'll probably remember that I had expressed major concerns with the ability of your department to be able to keep up with the demands of DEM at the time. And has DEM had to give you any extensions on this?
No.
Okay.
No. We, like I said, we keep an open line of communication, and the handful of things, you know.
Good. Good. Well, this vehicle, no doubt, is going to be a really great asset to you. The other question I have is, why didn't you go out for bid for this vehicle?
This type of equipment, it's because of the way it's specialized, a lot of the vendors don't bid just because they don't have to. But we could have, and maybe we could have, you know, gotten more input. But getting this something like this, it's not readily available. You know, the idea that this can be on our property in a couple months and we can start using it, if we try and buy something that's not already in the works, you're looking 12 to 18 months out. And that's what we would have anticipated with a bid. You know, our guys are constantly looking for pieces of equipment that's available, just because, you know, we know the urgency and we know that buying something brand new, the lead time is just too long for it to really be reasonable.
So with this knowledge, is it fair to say that your staff have done some comparative pricing on this and are comfortable with this number?
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. And it was a little bit ago, but Christy did mention in the beginning of her statement that there was a second bid included in here, maybe not bid, but a second quote included in our documentation, which was a little bit higher. So are you able to provide the council with a copy of our latest DEM report that we were just discussing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's available online, but we can send that over.
Okay.
We submit it electronically, so it's readily available.
Okay, cool. Councilman?
I have one more question.
Sure.
Eric, being that we're putting GPSs in a lot of the vehicles, will you be putting a GPS in this vehicle as well?
Right now, GPS is only going to be in sanitation vehicles, but there has been discussion about using that program more widely. But right now, the plan is just sanitation vehicles.
But it could be adapted to this too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other vehicles.
Okay. Yeah, the technology is not that tricky. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any Councilman Ricks?
Thank you. I think this is great. I'm really glad that you and the department are staying on top of this. It's something where we know that this problem exists, and I'm really relieved to hear that there's a real plan here. I think that this is a very wise investment that's going to save the city a lot of time, a lot of money, and also just provide that higher quality of service for the residents. And I suppose a case in point here is, and please correct me if I'm wrong on this, because I was trying to look up some of the information, wasn't able to grab it all off of my phone, but I was able to go back over some of the messages from way back when, way before you were the DPW director. And I remember back in the summer of 2017, there was an issue with the line under Manola Ave. And yeah, that ended up just being one heck of a terrible mess, where I believe that line was chock full of tree roots. And then the DPW director, or one or more, immediately following in 2018, I was noticing this issue in Norwood Field, 10th to 10th of a mile down the road from Manola. And for those who are familiar with the system, basically it's that 500 feet, 1,000 feet upstream, so to speak, from Manola. I believe it's a 36-inch line under that field. Thank you.
Yeah.
I do remember that correctly. And so the field was effectively turning into a pond, and there would be ducks and geese landing there because of the standing water. And then actually my house is a little bit upstream from there, and myself and all my neighbors, we were getting our basement flooded like never before, and it ended up just being a whole mess for, you know, the public in general who wanted to use the field, as well as the homeowners in the area, just because the drainage wasn't working as it should have been. There was also this whole question and some pushback from the city back then, not involving you, Director, not involving anyone who's here in front of us from the administration today, but it was frustrating back then that there was denial going on where there was discussion about, well, how do you know this isn't just something to do with the water table? But at the end of the day, it took over a year, it got figured out, and once again, it turned out that that 36-inch line, chock full of tree roots, incredible. And it took the city quite a while to be able to clear that line. And now, I know that in recent months, there's actually been, at least to my understanding, a similar issue going on in the area immediately between those two spots that were issues in 2017 and 2018. And so I suppose that my question here is, this type of equipment, is that going to be of use once it arrives? Knock on wood, hopefully, if approved tonight, hopefully arriving in or around January 2025, is that equipment going to be helpful in solving that problem over on Norwood Ave?
It's possible. You know, once you start talking about tree roots, depending on how inundated the line is, this machine might work, it might not. Again, this is just a water jet that goes through, and it's very high pressure, but it may not blast through significant roots. But that being said, if you have a regular maintenance program and you're out there regularly, then you don't allow that to happen in the first place. And that's kind of what we're looking for. In a situation like that where it's inundated with roots, a lot of times you have to go outside and hire someone to bring actually like a rooter in that has like a blade or something like that.
I'm really glad to hear that, because at the end of the day, I was doing some quick math based on what Councilman Lattiser was asking about how many catch basins a day and your response. And it seems that if it's situations where it's not running into a major problem, just crunching the numbers quick, it looked like it should be the sort of thing where once the system is down and in place, might actually be feasible to run through the whole city on a preventative maintenance program on more or less an annual basis. Obviously, I'm not going to hold you to any of that at this point because it's way too early to know, but that would be absolutely fantastic. Catch these things before they become issues. Save a lot of time, hassle, especially for the residents. Over on Norwood Ave right now, I've got videos taken by a constituent where the lip of the driveway is something like 8 inches off of the bottom, you know, where the road bottoms out, and the water is actually rising up over that 8 inches and then flowing down the hill and flooding into his property. And so whatever we can do to prevent situations like that from happening in the first place, that's exactly the kind of long-term planning that I think is absolutely essential for the city moving forward. And it's something that I can 100% get behind on here to make sure that everything is running smoothly and we prevent these kinds of situations from happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council have any questions or comments? Members of the public? Okay. Seems like we all like the Van Con truck. Number 5, 2023-257, State of Rhode Island, Premium Diesel Exhaust Fluid Lubricants, Oil, and Greases. Good evening, Christy.
Good evening. Christy Moretti, Public Works. Public Works is requesting to extend the expiration to November 30, 2025, and increase the spending authority $70,000 for a bid that we piggyback through the state MPA. For motor oils, greases, hydraulic fluid, transmission fluid, everything automotive related, and DEF fluid, actually, which is very important to our diesel vehicles.
Very important. Thank you. And so is this action just to align our contract period with the state MPA period?
Yes.
And the spending authority follows essentially our budgeted run rate.
I had previously asked for a third, I want to say in September, maybe like a $30,000 increase. So I didn't ask for the full amount that I normally would have for a year because we already requested that portion of it.
Understood. Thank you, Christy. Members of the committee, questions? Members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. So I'm kind of going to follow up on something that you just commented on, Christy. On September 16th of 2024, we approved a $35,000 request, which is what you came to us for. And
I'm sorry, Councilman, I can't hear you very well.
I said on September 16th, 2024, you had come to us and looking for an approval for $35,000. I think I just heard you say that you knew that wasn't going to be enough, but that's what you were coming for. So in your position paper, you state that the state of Rhode Island has extended the award for this bid to November 30th, 2025. I don't know if that's supposed to be kind of like, you know, a new announcement or what, but, you know, we knew this back on September 16th as well of 2024. So literally 1 month after we approved $35,000, you come back to us requesting spending authority of $70,000. And I don't get that. How does it go from $35,000 approved by us to take you into November 30th, 2025, to 1 month later coming back asking for an additional $70,000? I don't get this.
So in September, when I made the request for the $35,000, the bid expired November 30, 2024. If you look at the state MPA page, they approved their purchase order to extend the contract an additional year, which is what we're asking for tonight, on September 25th. So that was their approval date, not necessarily when they posted it, because usually it takes a little bit for them to post when they approve something. So on October 16th, I was doing as I should, and I was checking up on state MPAs and found that they had a couple weeks prior had approved this one for an additional year of a contract. So tonight we're asking for an additional year to expire on November 30, 2025, as well as $70,000 increase on the cap. And I'm only asking for $70,000 because I had previously asked for $35,000. So I'm not asking for what I normally would for a full year tonight.
So the contract period requested back on September 16th, you stated that the contract period was from December 1st, 2024 through November. So what you're asking for now is essentially, it's a total of $105,000, the $35,000 we approved in September plus the $70,000 now?
Right. For November or December 1st of 24 to November 30 of 25.
And what did you spend last year?
I don't have that number with me tonight. I can research it, but I don't have that with me.
I'm surprised you don't, because this is the questions I ask at every meeting for 12 years, is what did we spend last year? So we don't know what you spent last year. What we do know is you're looking for about $105,000, at least now, for the upcoming year.
Well, this bid, actually, the piggyback commenced on November 28th of 2022. Mm-hmm. So it's been actually a couple of years, and we haven't expended beyond our well, except for when I came in September, just to ensure that we had enough spending authority to get us through the contract period that we were expecting to expire on November 30th, 2024. We haven't expended, I think it, our original request was $120,000. However, okay. It's, you know, if we have issues with our trucks, if we have a hydraulic spill or a hydraulic leak, or if we have to do, you know, when they're doing preventative maintenance and they have to do an oil change, it's not, you know, like a car where you put 5 quarts in.
Sure.
So,
right.
And then the DEF fluid is diesel exhaust fluid, which is an additive that we, every diesel truck just about that we have at this point has a separate tank for that because it mixes with the diesel fluid. So you've got to figure that every truck, when they fill up their, the diesel fuel, they have to fill their DEF tank as well. So that's.
Okay. So, would you, send that amount that you had or you spent last year, would you send that off to me, us, tomorrow? And I'm asking you now because recently I asked for something to be sent. It wasn't sent. And it's because you got to go through the mayor's office to do it. So the chief of staff is sitting here right now. If there's an objection to sending that off to me tomorrow, you know, could you please just clarify? And this, it wasn't you, by the way, Christy. Let me just make that clear. It was not you. But that's what I'm requesting. And if the chief has an objection to doing that, I'm sure he can let you know.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you. We'll make sure you get that information. Just looking at the budget, this, so there's two budget codes referenced here. I think part of this comes from motor oil, which is 65,212 budgeted for 70,000 in the 2025 budget. The run rate the last several years has been about 55,000-ish. And then the balance comes from diesel fuel, which is a little bit difficult to spot in there because it's in with the fuel itself. But it seems to track to the total being asked for the additional year. All right. Thank you, Christy. Any other members of the council have questions or comments? Members of the public? All right. Hearing none, we'll move on to number six. 2025-230 on-call electrical services and or projects. Christy.
This is a new bid for the Department of Public Works. We are requesting to award a bid to K Electric Incorporated for on-call electrical services for any of the city assets that we might require their assistance with. The cap that we're requesting is $50,000 for a one-year period, and it would be 1 year from date of award.
Christy, when you say this is a new vendor?
This is a new bid. We've never had this bid before.
Okay. But we go out for electrical work when we can't perform it.
We do. And we're finding we're running into some instances where we need some assistance outside of city personnel. So that's why the administration decided, you know, said we should put this bid together. So we did, and we're requesting to award.
Okay. How did you come up with the $50,000 amount?
So it is split between different budget codes. You can see 66,340, that is building maintenance. So building maintenance is responsible. That division is technically responsible for all city buildings for the most part. Then you have 41 is the ice rinks, 42 is the pool, and then 7340 is field maintenance, which has like the field lights and things like that. So that's where that amount came from.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Christy, how many vendors did, let me rephrase that, how many vendors were sent a request to bid on this?
I believe there were at least four, and then it's also obviously advertised on the city website and whatever other outlets purchasing uses.
Okay, and you only received one?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council? Members of the public? Seeing none, we're now at the point of the finance bid package where all the remainder of the items are under $50,000 of spending. We'll go through any members of the committee, council, or public who have specific items they'd like us to cover are welcome at this point to make those known. Councilman Howe.
Thank you. I received a information from the department that item number 10, bid 2025-240, that is actually for Ward 2. However, there was a request from the department to amend, so I would like to speak on that one.
Okay. Any others for you, Councilman Howe?
I'm all set. Thank you.
Okay. Councilman Travis?
Yes, I have number 11, 2025-261. Purchase of 2 solar speed signs.
Okay, thank you. Any others?
No.
Okay. Councilman Lattiser.
Item number 7, 2025-232. Sign on page 36. Item number 12, 2025-255. Found on page 51. And item number 13, 2025-262, found on page 56.
Thank you, Councilman.
Welcome.
Anyone else? Last chance. Any members of the public? Any items you'd like us to pull off? No? All right, we'll just go in order. We'll start Councilman Lattiser. Item number 7, 2025-232, HUD. CDBG 2025 through 2029 Consolidated Plan and 2025 Annual Action Plan.
Chief. Good evening, Bill Facenti, Community Development Manager and Chief of Staff.
Councilman, you have questions?
Thank you. Yes. Good evening, Chief.
Good. How are you?
So it states here that the office emailed 8 firms the notice for the opportunity to bid, and only one person, I should say, you received only one bid from CEW, correct?
Correct.
And this was the same company that the city used in 2019.
Correct.
And what was the amount of their contract then?
$31,889. Approximately.
That was quick enough and close enough. So for this approximate $40,000 that we're going to spend on this reference 5-year consolidation plan. It's a very detailed planning document that provides the office with information, yada, yada, yada. When do you receive that work product?
So there's a requirement because this is a HUD required document, and what it includes is the first year action plan. It's a 5-year plan. It includes year number 1 action plan, which is program year 2025, which begins fiscal year 2026, July 1st. So this plan has to be submitted to HUD no later than May 15th of 2025, the whole plan, the 5-year plan with the first year action plan for approval. It has to be submitted 45 days before the start of the program year, according to HUD guidelines. There is a maximum deadline of August 12th, I believe, of any calendar year. And if you submit it after the August 12th deadline, you do not receive any CDBG funds. That's a statutory requirement.
Mm-hmm. And once this document is completed, it's submitted to the administration for review, consult, advice, approval? Or is this what it is? This is what you have to live by?
So it's a work product that the Office of Housing and Community Development, the Planning Department, and the administration works on with community partners, stakeholders that receive CDBG funds, service low-mod income individuals, provide social services to underserved populations throughout the entire city. So there's consultation that's involved with nonprofits, social service agency.
Don't feel bad, Chief. They usually do that to my mic. And you're suggesting what?
So again, they solicit consultation. They do consultations throughout the entire state with stakeholders that provide services to Warwick residents and those that are underserved according to HUD guidelines, low-mod income individuals, minorities, disabled, people like that are underserved.
Once that document is completed, either before or after it's sent in to HUD or after it's approved, is a copy of that document available to the council or the public?
It's available for public comment for 30 days prior to the submission, and it is a completely transparent public process. We have public hearings, public comment periods. We do survey monkeys or surveys. So it's a public process.
Got it. So
there's no council approval or council action.
No. No, so, I wasn't right. Asking that. This is literally a hard copy type of document that if any of us or any member of the public wanted to sit down and read sometime, we could.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chief, just before you step away, that public process, that's led by the planning department?
It's led by the Housing Community Development Office and the consultant. Planning Department is one of the stakeholders, and they are one of the people that offer guidance on obviously zoning and other planning processes, the city's consolidated plan, comprehensive plan, any zoning amendments for low-income housing, things like that. It's led by community development and the consultant.
Thank you, Chief. Any other questions on item number 7? Thank you. Next up is item number 10. I believe there's going to be an amendment here. This is going to be PCR 105-24. Oh, I didn't ask public on that last one. Any members of the public have any comment on item number 7? No, sorry. Thank you.